in the name of Jesus. Peter, in today's gospel, would have nothing of Jesus Christ crucified. Paul, you recall, was determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus identified Peter's talk of Christ as Satan talk. We can recognize that already from the temptation of Jesus. The same scandalon is put there in Jesus' way. There, Satan even uses the words of God to bring him down, stop him, deflect him from being such a son of God as was laid on him at his baptism. Son, servant, Psalm 2, Isaiah 42, Ebed Yahweh. If you are the Son of God, some things must surely follow from that, and I can set them up for you. The sort of Christ who would use his clout to get things done, things that no one could deny as proof of his being the Messiah. Messiah, as we would program him, stones into bread. Now there's the sort of social action the world needs and would applaud. That might even hit the headlines. But more likely yet, some spectacular demonstration of power, compellingly divine. Or, best of all the kingdoms of the world bowing down before him. That's even better than that sociologist's projection for the Missouri Synod. That is, if we'll only be ready to supply what the market calls for. There are those who say that the seminary's job is to train you to do things that way. At his temptation, be gone, Satan, and in this week's gospel, get behind me, Satan. The only Christ is the one that Jesus does. Trying to push some other Christ comes under Jesus' devastating, get behind me, Satan. Satan and Peter have no place for Calvary in their Christology. It should never happen. But it did. That, however, has not meant the end of Christology without Calvary. Even that can still somehow be fitted in, ignored, or sidetracked, or given polite reference. The test is the Calvary redundancy test. Of every sermon, you should ask, would it be possible to say all that if Calvary had never happened? If the answer is yes, then you have heard no essentially Christian sermon, and perhaps even one with the Christology that's Satan's and Peter's sort, but not Jesus's. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Or, worst contradiction of Calvary when it is used as law. Look how much Jesus loved you. Now you get cracking with some love like that, and you'll likely make it. The pledge at your ordination that you answer to is to Christ as in Jesus and in him crucified, not as in Satan's and Peter's theology of glory Christ. That is the way of Antichrist. Jesus prayed for Peter. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brethren. And he said, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. He said, I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you three times deny that you know me. I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me, and he was reckoned with the transgressors. For what is written about me has its fulfillment. And they said, "Look, Lord, here are two swords." And he said to them, "It is enough." They did not hear Isaiah 53. Not that. They were ready with two swords. These are the swords, you recall, that were claimed for the papacy by Boniface VIII. Two swords, and then three crowns of the papal tiara, still in evidence in Miami on September the 10th, 1987. Spiritual power on earth, temporal power on earth, and power beyond the earth. Jesus would have none of the two swords, as also not of Peter's sword. Enough. No more of that. Yet Jesus did not give up on Peter. Jesus matches Peter's three denials with his reaching out to Peter with his three times question, "Do you love me?" Peter's response no longer pushes himself, as in, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Indefectibility. Now his answers have no other ground of confidence but Jesus only. "Lord, you know. So feed my sheep." And a death that would glorify God, and "follow me." Let your plea be that in spite of your wanting to take over and run him as a power and glory Christ, he would yet not give up on you, but bring you to repentance and forgiveness as he did Peter. And somehow, incredibly, have some use for you, even you, as he builds his church where and when it pleases him. He does this in the way of the cross, and he invites us along in that way. His cross, ours. There is only one, no need of more, F. Harpax. And so, follow me. Amen.